From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh, back from a much-needed vacation. Sorry to leave you hanging, but we're closing out 2012 with a bang. Beginning today, my special guest is Datsik. Along with Excision and Downlink, these Canadian imports brought the UK dubstep sound to the States, but not before they added a big, bad bass to the gentle genre. Datsik has played the biggest stages across the country and around the world with his rowdy crew, and now he's playing the role of businessman, helming his own Firepower record label. More in a minute. Today's show is brought to you by RDO. RDO lets you listen to millions of songs ad-free wherever you are, on the web and on your phone, even offline. RDO works on your desktop, Android, BlackBerry, Roku box, iPhone, iPad, and more. Listen to popular hits, new releases, critics' picks, classics, and party favorites. Millions of songs to play, share, and discover. Subscribe now for unlimited music and listen without limits at RDIO.com. We recently got word that you were taking the show back out on the road, Firepower Reloaded, coming to a city near you in January and February. I talked to the Terra Vita guys a couple of months back, and they said it was too much fun, like dangerous fun, arrest Jim Feeney fun. I imagine you couldn't wait to get back out there?
Oh, I can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome. On this found we have Chris, Brills, Rico, and Barron. So it should be good. Trying to bring out some of the other Firepower artists. We got Baron and Recoil, which are, you know, they're both young kids and are really good friends, so I think it'll be really cool having them on the tour. And then Grizz, he is basically like this kind of trip hoppy kind of dude. He kind of falls in the same genre as like Bass Nectar, Pretty Lights, and he's sick. He makes wicked music, and he's a really cool guy, so I'm stoked to have him. And then we got the other guy, Brills, who's like a super dope trapped. So it should make for an interesting tour.
I remember, you know, from your first Firepower tour, you had acts like AFK, Getter, Delta Heavy, and you've been discovering new artists and turning out albums just as fast. In fact, there's a new one out from DKS today, Can't Get Enough. Are you doing all the A&R yourself, or have you assembled a team that helps you run Firepower and seek out that new talent?
I do all the A&R myself in terms of just finding people and, you know, just kind of get them on the label. But then from there, you know, when I started the label, I was doing everything myself. But now it's kind of, since we've had momentum, I've hired a couple other people, and it just makes everything a lot easier. So yeah, it's cool. I got a label manager who does everything that I asked her to do. And then I got, you know, the artwork guy and whatever else. And I do all the mastering of the tracks myself, too, just because, you know, I might as well. And it's kind of fun anyway, so whatever. But yeah, it's cool. But I kind of turned into this company, I guess.
When I kick it, yo.
Yeah. Need you from Dat6 Vitamin D. This is Grizz on tour with Dat6 Firepower Reloaded beginning next month. I imagine you were getting inundated with tracks from 13-year-old producers who had just gotten a laptop for Christmas and were turning out the first thing and sending it to you. I imagine once you started your label, now everyone is sending you their material. How do you sift through it, or are you just, you know, scouring through Beatport and SoundCloud all day? What's the process like for you, especially when you're trying to cultivate your own career at the same time?
Well, actually, my label manager goes through all the emails, and anything that stands up to her, she basically forwards to me, and if I really like it, then, you know, if it makes its way into my sets, then I'm likely to sign it. That's kind of the formula I've been using for Firepower, just to kind of maintain my own version of quality control, I guess. But, you know, it's cool because all these kids that I've been signing are all so young. So, you know, like, who knows where they're going to be in like a year or 2 years. So I'm just really happy to be part of their intro into the electronic music world, you know. So it's kind of cool.
What does stand out mean to you and your label manager, I guess? Are you looking for maybe a polished sound that can use just a little bit of promo on your end to get it out there? Or is it fine if it's a little more raw because you're going to end up mastering it and working with the artist to develop their sound a little bit? I just wonder because, you know, you have to pick and choose. Do you see raw talent that maybe you need to work on a little bit, or somebody's coming to you with something polished that you can throw right into your set and you don't have to do much work? And so when it comes to putting out their material, they're already ready to go. I imagine it's got to be a balance.
Well, yeah, it's totally balanced. I think the biggest thing that I look for when I'm signing kids is, does it have, like, that unique flavor? Like, is it different? Like, is it different from everyone else? Or does it just sound like someone who's trying to copy Skrillex? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's got to be something that's unique. It's got to have some sort of flavor. And I think that's the biggest thing. Usually when I hear a track, I instantly know whether I want a Firepower or not. You know what I mean? There's no kind of in-between. But, you know, that being said, sometimes kids will send me really sick tracks that just have, like, shitty mix sounds. And I'm like, man, if you fix it, unless you make it sound nice and loud, you can do a Firepower EP for me kind of thing. You know what I mean? So
right.
That's kind of the way it's been operating. I basically just go off instinct, and, you know, it's, you know, right direction so far.
Stars, Getter with his Ill Shit VIP, and a Spectrum remix from DKS, whose new EP Can't Get Enough is out now on Firepower.
You've been such a staple in the scene. It's kind of hard to believe that Vitamin D, which came out back in April on Steve Aoki's Dimmock label, was your first full-length release. What has your work with Aoki and Excision's Rotten label taught you about running your own brand?
Well, you know, working with Excision, you know, he's a really good friend and you know, kind of, I guess, mentor when I first started. So working with him, it was really cool. You know, I didn't really know what like normal labels would do for an artist, but he basically just got behind my stuff and just blasted it and did all that kind of stuff. Whereas Aoki, they took kind of a different approach in the sense that, you know, there's a higher cut going back to the label, but with the amount of money that they're spending on me, you know, that included press and like actually doing it like the proper major label way.
Sure.
So basically getting, you know, interviews and this and that and all that kind of stuff together. So what I've been doing with Firepower specifically is with every release, I get behind it 100%. You know, I blast it as much as I can from you know, my DAPS page and my Twitter handles and whatever else. And I also give the artists as big of a cut as I can while still being able to, you know, promote them and get them interviews and get them in magazines and this and that. So I'm basically trying to take the best of both worlds and combine it. and still make it fair for the artist so that they're actually making money on their first release. You know what I mean?
I do. So let's talk about your history with Excision. You and Jeff, as well as Downlink, get a lot of credit with taking that sort of nebulous underground sound called dubstep from the UK club scene and really taking it to a whole new aggressive level. Was this a conscious decision, or were you just making music that you liked and it just happened to catch on?
Yeah, basically just making music that I liked and it caught on. It was really kind of weird how it happened. I didn't know there was a huge, like, when I was getting into it, I didn't know there was a huge dubstep scene. Like, I knew that it existed, and that's kind of what I was stoked on, but I had no idea that, like, it reached the kind of plateau that it's reached. And, you know, I was totally just doing it for fun. I was just, you know, I've always been into sound design and always geeked out and, you know, loved robots and all that kind of stuff. And I just implemented it into my music and, you know, I guess people liked it.
So during those early days, when you were still sort of new to the scene and before you had discovered dubstep, were you already producing and DJing, or was this something where the music caught you and you had to get involved?
Well, I was kind of noodling around on turntables. I didn't really know all that much. But I've been writing music for a long time, like since I was probably 14 years old. You know, I've always had like a copy of Fruity Loops and making tons of hip hop. And then, you know, I went to audio school, so I was so into it. And then I guess maybe, you know, three quarters of the way through audio school, I kind of found dubstep, and that's kind of how it all started. And, you know, I was planning on actually going and working at like a video game company when I was done school, but it kind of just didn't work out because I was getting all these gig offerings for DJing. So as soon as I finished school, I was like pretty much living exactly what I had hoped to get into. You know what I mean? Like, I was thought of like making hip hop and all that kind of stuff as a passion. But then when I started writing dubstep, I started getting all these like offers to go play around the country and, you know, in a different country. And at that point, I was just like, holy shit.
Yes, I got my swagger back. Yes, I got my swagger back.
Collaboration from Excision and Datsik, Swagger from back in 09. This is the Unz Podcast. And in addition to the hip-hop, there's such a metal influence in the style of bass music you produce. Do you ever sit back in the studio where you've just instructed Jonathan Davis of one of the biggest metal acts of all time, Korn, and think to yourself, well, how the fuck did this happen?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, when we were on the tour, on the Korn tour, you know, I was with Downlink, and so basically they had a couple buses. There, you know, each artist had a different bus, you know, part of Korn each artist of Korn had a different bus,
mm-hmm.
and Jonathan Davis had his own bus, and he basically asked Downlink and myself to come basically roll around with him. And, you know, at that point, you know, I was just so, like, kind of nervous, because, like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? This is so trippy. And I just went from there, and, you know, totally, like, it's just so good when you actually meet these people that you always hear about.
Sure.
And, you know, in the media and whatever else. So meeting him and getting to hang out with him was totally a mind fuck. But it was, you know, it's really cool because he's a really nice guy and, you know, he's totally down to earth and just really weird for that way.
I imagine it was nerve wracking because this is a band that so many people identify with and has been a part of their lives for more than a decade. And here come these new young guns playing for their audience. I can't imagine what sort of thoughts you were having before you stepped out on stage.
Oh, God, that tour was probably the hardest tour I've ever done. Just because, you know, exactly like you just said, you know, so many people identify with Korn. But, like, we're there. A lot of the people on that tour had no idea who we were, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was really definitely different. But, you know, some cities, it really popped off. Other cities were like, they hated it. So it was totally a mixture. It's evolution. It's evolution. It's evolution.
Evolution featuring a certain Jonathan Davis from the band Korn.
We followed that up with Datsik and Downlink Syndrome, both of those on Vitamin D from Steve Aoki's Dimmock label.
So I imagine then, you know, it feels good to go back on the road with the Vortex and put out more more firepower material. But have you set aside time to maybe work on a follow up to Vitamin D, or even gotten to work with some more people, some more high profile collaborations? Anything that you can tell us about that's not going to get you in trouble?
Yeah. Well, I've been, you know, I just finished my tour, and then I got home and I went straight to Australia, and then I got back, and then now tomorrow I'm leaving for Kauai, which is actually my vacation time. So
perfect.
I think, you know, what I've been trying to do is work on my next EP for, I was trying to launch it in January, but because I've been so damn busy, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm really trying my best, and it's going to be cool. It's a mixture of pretty much everything, you know, probably some 110, some drum and bass, some drum step, some dubstep, you know, just kind of mixing it up, trying to do a little bit of everything. And yeah, that's basically the plan. I'll probably do a 5 or 6 track EP, and then later on in the year, probably another album. So that's kind of what I've set in my calendar. And yeah, hopefully, I can make it happen with all this touring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Troy Beadle, that's it. Thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast. This has been a long time coming, and what a joy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Don't Feel Right from Datsik's debut album, Vitamin D, available on Dimmock. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to my guest, Troy Beadles. Catch Datsik on the road with his Firepower Reloaded tour across Canada and in the U.S. in January and February with Grizz, Baron and Recoil, Brills, and more. Check out some of the hottest up-and-comers in the dubstep world on his Firepower label at firepowerrecords.com. Next week, my guest will be the incomparable Wicket the Instigator, who's playing the 3-year anniversary party for the UNS alongside Freak Nasty, Symbionic, Akara, and more on 12/21 at 1015 Folsom in San Francisco. For those of you in the Midwest, the UNS is joining forces with TC Dubstep, Madtown Dubstep, and Dark Horse Group to present Infrasound 3D NYE, a giant 2-day New Year's event at the Skyway Theater in Minneapolis, featuring headliners Feed Me, Zomboy, Eskimo, Mount Eden, Spankalicious, and more on 2 stages. 2-day passes are selling fast, so grab them now at tickets.theunce.com. More details to come. Today's show was brought to you by Ardio. Ardio lets you listen to millions of songs ad-free wherever you are, on the web and on your phone, even offline. Millions of songs to play, share, and discover. Subscribe now for unlimited music and listen without limits at RDIO.com. Please visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, tour dates, and now tickets to some of the biggest shows across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunce.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunce.com. Join the conversation at The UNS Podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.